good relations with producers, where there's a collective decision-making process, and where we can honor a lot of the traditional licit crops that Kandahar has been known for millennia, seems like a worthwhile thing to be involved in.
Sarah Chase, former NPR correspondent, left NPR in 2002, is now working with a soap collective in Kandahar, and we will link to that website at democracynow.org. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shreef Abdokadoush, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Frank Lopez, Aaron Mate, and Jen Utes. Nick Marsilio is our engineer. On Wednesday, tomorrow night, as we continue our Breaking the Sound Barrier tour, I'll be at University of Buffalo at the Fleet Theater this weekend, in Tucson, in Pittsburgh, in Cleveland. Go to our website to find out more about the tour at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Join me, Bob Anero, alternating Monday mornings from 3 to 6 a.m. with a free music show, where we will celebrate those artists who encourage recording and trading of their live performances on the Internet Live Music Archive. You will hear a wide variety of genres, from jam bands to bluegrass, ska, and a lot more. You may even hear some locally recorded performances. I'll try to keep things interesting, so hope to see you there.
And it's 6 o'clock on the nose here on WUSB Stony Brook. Time once again for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, October the 10th. And I got to say, it's interesting that yesterday was actually three holidays at the same time. Well, some of you might be familiar with Columbus Day, which is kind of a weird holiday around here because we don't know whether to celebrate or to laugh. Then up in Canada, it's Thanksgiving. And it was also John Lennon's birthday, October 9th, 2006. So a whole lot of things going on, and I did absolutely nothing to celebrate any of them. Didn't even listen to a John Lennon song. Oh, well. I just also want to say thank you. Thank you to North Korea. Thank you so much for making that little explosion and finally getting the U.S. networks to start talking about something else other than this stupid Foley thing. I don't know if that was the intent, but it was the effect, and I appreciate it. I think everybody in America appreciates it. So from the bottom of my heart and from everybody here in this country, a very sincere thank you for pursuing your nuclear program to draw attention away. So I guess the operative question then is, what next? Well, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of a sex scandal that comes up in the future, and we're going to need another nuke to kind of get us off that. But for now, I think we're finally talking about something that matters instead of something that's incredibly boring after a while. So let's focus on that first. And, of course, we want to take your phone calls. I'd like to take some more phone calls this week because I know we've had some good discussions that go up to the end of the hour. So please write down on your hand or something this phone number to call at the bottom of the hour. Country code 1, or just dial that 1 for the fun of it. I don't know why you have to dial the 1. It doesn't make any sense to me, but you got to do it from many places. And area code 631, phone number 632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. And, North Korea has exploded something. Now we're going around saying, the U.S. is going around saying, you know what? We don't think they actually did it. We don't think they actually exploded a nuclear device. We think they screwed the whole thing up. I mean, it's not enough that we've got all this craziness going on in the world, but now we're going to try and get them to do it again, apparently, because we're saying that they were inadequate. So they have to prove themselves. And that sure is a way to push the North Koreans' buttons, isn't it? To say they didn't do it properly. As it is, this nuclear test, this alleged nuclear test, was one of the smallest ones ever conducted. I think they're saying it was, half a megaton? And if I'm not mistaken, when Pakistan did theirs, it was something like 15 megatons. And there have been so many more in the past that have been so much bigger. In fact, let's check out what all Wikipedia has to say about this one. Look at that. Oh, my God. I wish I could show you the bar graph on the radio here. But let me tell you, there are an awful lot of nuclear tests over the years. But insofar as how many weapons actually exist, that's the really scary part. But get this, United States, how many nuclear tests do you think the United States has performed over its glorious history? According to this, 1,054 by official count. And that involves 1,151 devices, 331 atmospheric tests. Soviet Union, 715 tests involving 969 devices. France, 210, United Kingdom, 45, China, 45, India, Pakistan, even Israel has the bomb. So how do we go around saying to North Korea with a straight face, no, you may not play this game. You're not allowed. Now, I know the logic behind it. We think they're evil. We don't like them. We're scared of them. Well, we are scared of them, right? I know I'm not supposed to say we're scared of them, but we're scared of them. We don't know what they're going to do next. They don't follow our instructions. They're sarcastic. They're nasty. I get the distinct feeling that they don't respect us. So, that's why we don't want them to play the nuclear game. But what do we say to them? What do we say to their faces? You see, it's kind of hard to tell somebody, you're bad, and therefore, we don't want you to have this. Because that just makes them want to have it all the more. And It's logical. It makes sense, doesn't it? Do you know anybody who can accept the fact that, yes, I'm evil, I should be treated differently? Most people don't go for that, and most countries don't go for that either. So when you place a country in the axis of evil, many times they will object to this, and they will fight it. And I think if you look at the foreign policy of the Bush administration, it's all right there in black and white. Where this is going, how it got there, the mistakes that were made. You see, I think maybe the Clinton administration was a bit too trusting, naively so. But the Bush administration has been too pigheaded. And this represents a tremendous foreign policy failure. I don't know if that's how it's coming across in the Sunday morning talk shows, but absolutely, this is a tremendous failure for the Bush administration insofar as their get tough policy with these quote-unquote rogue nations. Yeah, we refuse to talk to them one-on-one. Even though we're the ones issuing all sorts of demands and threats and things like that, we're not going to talk to you one-on-one. Even if you say you're going to explode a nuclear device tomorrow, and you won't if you talk to us directly. No, we're not going to do that, because that would be negotiating with terrorists, and you're all terrorists. You're all evil people. So can we be surprised when they actually get angry at this and do something that they say they're going to do? I mean, if it keeps North Korea from pursuing a nuclear program, I would say, yeah, you know what? We're all Muslims. Whatever you want us to say, we'll say. We'll talk to you. We'll send you bouquets of flowers. Whatever you want, within reason. And it's just been kind of silly, this get tough policy that the Bush administration has had, where they don't yield any ground, and they think that nations are going to respect this. Well, maybe the weak-willed ones will. What a weird sentence that was. But the ones that are really kind of stubborn, they're not going to. And all it takes is one of them standing up to the United States, one of them saying no, and that's going to lead to a whole lot of others doing the same thing. How do you think they feel in Iran, seeing what North Korea is doing? Or any other country that doesn't particularly like us at the moment? So the question remains, what do you say to them to get them not to do this? And so far, I haven't heard anything good. I haven't heard anything at all convincing, anything that would make them not want to pursue this program. And honestly, I don't understand what the big deal is. Yes, we know they have the capability. We know they have the potential to do all sorts of things with the technology. It's a shame that this is where they spend their money. But, you know, it's a shame we spend our money on the same kind of garbage at great expense to all sorts of other important things. It seems to be the way of the world. So why are we so surprised when they actually carry through and say, look, we're testing this? They're testing it on their own land. They're developing it on their own time. They're not forcing us to help them. And it's just something that I don't see what the big surprise is. And again, I don't see how you can tell one nation, yes, you're allowed to do this, another nation, you're not allowed to do this, when supposedly they're all independent and can do what they want. So, yeah, that's one of the questions I like to ask people to call in and advise us on, because obviously we haven't, as a nation, we haven't said the right thing yet. And if you believe in the right to self-defense, which so many people do, so many people want to go around packing and keeping armaments in their homes and things like that. Well, do you see the parallel here? Those of you who are into that kind of thing, do you also see why North Korea might be into that sort of thing on a grander scale? Is there a parallel here? So, yeah, here's the official statement, and these are always fun to read, from North Korea. It's a full text of the announcement that was carried on North Korea's official Korean Central News Agency. Are you ready? Here we go. The field of scientific research in the DPRK, which is North Korea, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, successfully conducted an underground nuclear test under secure conditions on October 9th. I don't know what this means. October 9th, Juche 95. And then in parentheses, it says 2006. Is that how they refer to the year? J-U-C-H-E 95? Boy, they are weird. I honestly don't know what that means. Continuing here. On October 9th, at a stirring time when all the people of the country are making a great leap forward in the building of a great, prosperous, powerful socialist nation. Oh, yeah. That's inspiring, isn't it? It has been confirmed that there was no danger as radioactive emission in the course of the nuclear test, as it was carried out under a scientific consideration and careful calculation. We assume the Korean phrase was grammatically correct as opposed to the English version, and that the scientific part of that also was correct. The nuclear test was conducted with indigenous wisdom. Yes, indigenous wisdom. That's the best kind, isn't it? this is really, I don't know if they're trying to make them look foolish or if they're just being sloppy with the translation here, but I'm sure they didn't say it this way in Korean. The nuclear test was conducted with indigenous wisdom and technology 100%. Technology 100%? What does that mean? What else would you have? Of course you have technology, and I don't even know what they're trying to say here. It marks a historic event. What should be an historic event, but I'll let that go. As it greatly encouraged and pleased the KPA, Korean People's Army. How do you measure when an army is pleased? How do you do that exactly? Guys, we're going to just send around a little survey here. Can you fill it out, please? Number two pencils only. Let us know if you're pleased, dissatisfied, angry, happy, on drugs, whatever. Just, we want to hear from you. Yeah, so the People's Army was pleased. And people that have wished to have powerful, self-reliant defense capability, they're pleased too. The people that have wished to have powerful, self-reliant defense capability, very pleased. It will contribute to defending the peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula and in the area around it. Message ends. Well, you know, if you're on the Korean Peninsula now, probably having a big debate about whether or not you feel more secure, peaceful, that kind of thing. Because Japan is talking about going nuclear. South Korea, I'm sure, is interested in it as well. To be honest, I would be happy if all the nuclear weapons were simply carted away, taken to another planet someplace. That's what I'm for. I'm for all of them going away. Just like it would be nice if all the guns and bullets went away, too. Yeah, you'd still have wars. You'd still have people killing each other, but it wouldn't be so damn easy. And it wouldn't be so incredibly horrible when it did happen. So, that's where we stand. Supposedly now the world is a different place. That's what everybody said. Even China said, oh, they do this, and it's all, everything's different. It's all going to be changed. So it's quite possible that that they're going to do it again, because now we're saying that they didn't do it right. I can't imagine what we're gaining by goading them into something else now. One prediction I had several months ago, which was poo-pooed universally, but I'm going to make it again. I don't know if I made it on the air, but I've made it to several people. They think I'm crazy. If there is any change in the government of North Korea, it's not going to come from the United States or really any other part of the world except for one, and that's China. I predict sometime in the next few years that if things continue on a downward spiral, that there will be a somewhat bloodless coup in the leadership of North Korea, and it will be discovered that the Chinese are behind it. Because I believe they're the only ones that can actually pull it off. And then things will change, because China is turning into this huge capitalistic society, and boy, if that comes to North Korea, it'll make the transition complete. And then it'll be the United States against all of Asia, because they'll be taking all of our jobs and all of our SUVs and using all the fuel, and we'll have a whole new thing to worry about. Okay, so that's the North Korean situation as it stands right now. Obviously, there's all sorts of talk here in this country about what we're going to do, what we're going to do next. And the thing is, there's nothing really we can do. Even if we had a legitimate cause, which we don't have the manpower. We don't have the manpower, and guess why that is? Because they're all off fighting some other stupid war someplace and getting themselves killed and not exactly winning popularity contests for our country in the process. I think, you know, if we actually went in and did something in the Korean Peninsula, if we actually went in there, I see people are calling now. That's very good, but you know what? Don't call till 6:30 or half past the hour, wherever you are in the world. Because otherwise, it's just going to time out, and then you'll be disconnected, you'll feel frustrated, you'll think we're not paying attention to you, and you'll take it out on us. And that's not fair to you or to us. 631-632-9872, but call after the half-hour mark. And if you're listening in the future, don't call, because this is not coming to you live, obviously, and I don't know what you're trying to prove. But my prediction is that if we were to continue to be in Afghanistan and Iraq, and then we did something in the Korean Peninsula, I think this country would be wide open for all sorts of invasions and coups and God knows what else. And that would sure get interesting, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have enough people to defend ourselves. And maybe we wouldn't want to defend ourselves. Maybe we'd be sick of what's representing us now. You have to wonder, when is that day going to come when people are sick of it all? When they say, this isn't what I signed up for. It's time to do something about it. How far can people be pushed? That's another question I have. How far can people be pushed before they actually do something about it? And I think it's as far as when you start to feel it. When you start to feel it in your everyday life. When you can't go to the mall anymore. When you can't afford to buy anything. When you're starting to starve. Of course, starving people don't really make the best ones to rise up and make change, ask any North Korean that. But we're getting to that stage. We're getting close. We're getting close to the point where people are so angry at what's going on that they're really going to do something. If they only knew what. If they only knew where to channel this anger and frustration. And that's where we have failed as a people. We don't have any place to channel the frustration. Where are the anti-war protests? Where are the anti-Bush protests? They should be going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But they're not. They get taken over by these ridiculous factions that insist on tying things to all sorts of other things that alienate people, and we wind up doing absolutely nothing. That's the left in our country, unfortunately. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army has come up with a new slogan, and this is good. This replaces an army of one. Do you know what it's called? It's called Army Strong. Yes, Army Strong is the new the new slogan of the Army. I guess they're going for the Arnold Schwarzenegger crowd here, who speak in monosyllables and don't use very many verbs. Army good, Army strong. Army kick your ass. Who knows what they're thinking with this, but it's being replaced even as we speak. And this is the fruit of a $200 million a year contract. You know, I could have done this for $20. I really could have. McCann World Group Advertising Agency. These are the guys who milk them for that amount of money to come up with Army Strong. And it was announced yesterday. And it's not going to be launched, though, until November 9th. So you're not legally permitted to say it yet. I'm saying it because I'm on the radio and we have a special permit. But you cannot say Army Strong yet. Referring to the Army specifically. You can say, boy, that's, oh wait, I can't do it without a verb. You could ask a question, is the Army strong? And that works. It's a sentence. But you can't say Army strong referring to the Army. Just the way it is. That's how advertising works, folks. It's not my idea. It's going to coincide with Veterans Day weekend. And that's when everybody's going to be marching around saying Army strong. There's no question that we want to have a marketing boost right now. It's important to us, said Lieutenant General Robert Van Antorp, who oversees the recruiting effort as commander of U.S. Army Accessions Command. Accessions Command, yes. The Army missed its recruiting target in 2005 by the widest margin in more than two decades, but it bounced back this year to reach its goal of signing up 80,000 new suckers. And yes, okay, they're called soldiers, I know, but I honestly can't understand what's motivating them. I really can't. Here's some of it. Offering bigger financial incentives, increasing the caliber of recruiters, making more use of websites to reach young people. Now, here's the thing that really bothers me about this. We're spending all this time talking about people like Foley and predatory people that prey on our young. And yes, people like that should be targeted, because the young should not be preyed upon under any situation and any circumstance. And that should include the Army. Who is more predatory than the Army coming into high schools and approaching these same easily influenced young people and getting them to do something that, if they were a little bit more mature, they would think about more carefully and reach a more rational decision? But they're being coerced. And is that not just as bad, if not worse, than some lecherous congressman sending you instant messages? Which would you prefer? To have MAF-54 pop up on your screen and say, hey, am I making you horny? Or to have some guy in a uniform calling you at your home, coming to your school, and doing everything in his power to either intimidate you or entice you into joining the military and putting your life on the line for nothing in particular? Of course, he gets a percentage of that somehow. And I know a lot of people have a real problem with this, but there's nothing they can do about it. They can't keep them out of their schools. And God forbid you represent something else, a different point of view. Are you allowed to go to the school and preach your particular doctrine? Of course not. The military gets carte blanche. I'd like to know from our listeners, I know there are a lot of people who go to high school who listen to us, how old were you, or are you, when somebody from the military first approached you and tried to get you to commit in some way, whether it's signing up to be on a mailing list or giving out your phone number? Not that they won't get it anyway, the school gives it to them. But how old were you when you were first approached directly by these people? Because I really think it's sick how this works. How people are enticed and brainwashed. And that's what it is. There's no reason in the world so many of our young people should be over there right now, in a country that doesn't want us over there, fighting some kind of stupid, I don't know what we're doing over there. It's not a war, it's an occupation. There's no policy, there's no plan. And there's 3,000 of our people dead as a result. And God knows how many of the other people have been killed as a result. It, you know, those people who survive, they're not exactly coming home to a big parade and a life full of happiness. They've been through some very traumatic events. They've seen people around them get killed. They've lost limbs themselves. They've had to kill people. So don't think that there's only 3,000 victims here. There are tens of thousands, if not more. And we're all going to have to deal with that for the rest of our lives. So yeah, I think that's a hell of a lot more obscene than all this Foley nonsense. Now, speaking of the Foley nonsense, we can have a bit of fun with that. It's always fun to deal with corrupt politicians of various sorts. Actually, I had a conversation with a friend over the weekend, and we decided that this would be fun. This would be a kind of a cool thing to do. I don't know how many of you use Gmail out there. I think everybody uses Gmail these days, right? It's sort of like required. It's fine, you know. It's a good thing to use. It's convenient. It's a nice way to sort your mail. They have a terrific interface, but keep in mind that it's not private. That's right. They are able to read all of your mail as it goes through, and the proof is simply look to the right as you're reading your mail, and you will see targeted advertising based on what you say in your mail. Now, I don't know how anybody can live with that. I can't. I don't use it. I have my own account, but I don't use it for anything other than experimental purposes, such as the little project that we embarked on in the last couple of days, where we basically sent all of the crazy instant messages that Congressman Foley was sending to pages to an account on Gmail, just to see what kind of targeted advertising would pop up to match the message. And some of it was pretty interesting, actually. Some of it was really kind of wacky. Okay, so we have this message here. I'm not going to get into too much detail because this is a family show after all. But this is the instant message where he's saying to whoever he's talking to. We still don't know who this is. I don't think his username actually has 9 X's in it. How's my favorite young stud doing? And the young stud says, tired and sore. I didn't know waltzing could make you sore. They're having some conversation about that. He got sore from waltzing, and God knows why. Well, the advertising that popped up in response to that was back pain secret revealed, and canker sores and toothpaste. I don't know why exactly. And knee pain and Lotil cream. Yeah. So all sorts of things to deal with pain of various sorts. And the next message we forwarded was talking about how, well, you have all this pain, you need a massage. And then the young stud was complaining that tomorrow is the first day of lacrosse practice. Congressman Foley said, I'd love to watch that. Watch those great legs running. And he went on from there. Well, the advertising linked to that, jogging music, women's self-defense. Yeah, martial arts for women. I'm not quite sure how they got that. I guess it's possible that they picked up that it was a lecherous congressman, didn't pick up that it was a male that the congressman was talking to, but in any event, I guess it can't hurt. Increase athletic speed, no doubt, in response to the lacrosse talk. And first endurance products. And I won't even go into that at all, but boy. Then we move on to some more rather specific talk about how people pleasure themselves when they're by themselves. And there was talk of using lotion or using a towel. I'm not going to get into too much detail on this, but basically the conclusion was with a towel, you can just wipe up and go. Where do you throw the towel? In the laundry? They went into a whole big conversation about this. And that resulted in advertising for towel bars and towel racks, towel sales, rustic bathroom hardware, and other things of that ilk. We then go on to very specific talk about the physical condition of someone's sexual organ at the moment of the conversation. And that's really as far as I want to take it. And that evoked the response from Gmail, targeted advertising. 3 different responses for NetNanny. NetNanny, NetNanny downloads, and just another basic NetNanny-related site. So I guess Gmail's kind of intelligent, picking up that maybe you want to block this kind of thing. Not quite sure how you would do it in that case, but yeah. Then we got into fetishes. And the page that the congressman was talking to was discussing various fetishes, and his particular one seemed to be the Catholic girl look, the Catholic schoolgirl look, and that brought some responses from school uniforms for girls, and I didn't know there were such sites, several of them: schoolgirl mini skirts, schoolgirl uniforms, Gap Kids, and Army and Navy store supply for some reason. And then the final mystery, need potty pull-ups. Yeah, potty pull-ups. That's logical, I guess. And finally, is this the last one? Yeah, this is the last one. There was a discussion about How do I say this? About length, okay? About how long something was, and just use your imagination, which I don't think you have to use very much of. So they got into a discussion about how big something was, and that the advertising that was brought up because of that particular phraseology, vintage slide rule. Yeah, in case you want to measure something, slide rules and rulers and all sorts of other things like that. And this is also interesting. Trap that works. It catches raccoons, cats, rabbits, armadillos. Okay, fine. Wonderful. And then the other thing we did, just as an experiment, was we forwarded the emails that were originally, the emails were originally what the scandal started as. And there really wasn't anything too untoward in the emails, just kind of overly friendliness. We wanted to see, though, if any advertising would pop up as a result of those phrases with Gmail. And you know what? Not a single thing popped up. Blank. Completely blank. So the emails suggest nothing to Gmail. And the instant messages, of course, suggest all sorts of things, from raccoon traps to schoolgirl uniforms to slide rules to potty training. Now, interestingly enough, the story continues even with the whole North Korean thing going on. And there are still calls for the Speaker of the House to resign. And I'm in a very bad position here, because ordinarily I would be thrilled. I think it's a great idea for all the Republicans to resign. And I guess I shouldn't be looking a gift horse in the teeth, but boy, this is, it's just not right. It's just not right. If what we're being told is true, and the thing is, I've seen this distorted so many times. I've seen people refer to these instant messages as the emails that this guy Hastert was aware of earlier this year. Now, if he was aware of those and didn't do anything about it, yeah, obviously that's very bad and he should go. But if the only email he was aware of was the actual email, which basically was saying, hey, how are you? Send me a picture. Did you survive the hurricane? What do you like to do? When's your birthday? Things like that. Yeah, kind of creepy, overly friendly, but nothing sexually suggestive, unless you have a really good imagination. And if that was all he saw, and if his action was to tell the congressman to stop doing that, that seems perfectly appropriate to me. But there are people, and a lot of them Democrats, going on the air saying that this was tantamount to child rape. Come on already. This is insane. It's an email. A slightly inappropriate email that supposedly was dealt with. And if that's the information that was out there at the time, it was dealt with appropriately. Now, if there's evidence of a cover-up, I have yet to see it. I see a lot of people saying there was a cover-up, but I don't see any evidence of any kind of cover-up. And that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. So, yeah, you know, it's great that that the Republicans are probably going to lose Congress because of this. Well, no, let me change that. It's great that Republicans are going to lose control of Congress. I'll put a period there. But because of this, it's a farce. This is what makes our nation the laughingstock of the world. We can go around invading countries. We can go around cutting all kinds of social programs. We can go around killing each other by becoming one of the most violent nations in the history of the world. And yet we still keep reelecting the people who make that happen. Even though we're angry, even though we're frustrated, even though we know it's wrong, we keep reelecting those people. But something like this happens, with all kinds of nebulousness and wrong terminology being used and all sorts of suspicions being cast that don't have any merit. And that is the reason. That's what we talk about. That's what we care about, this Montel Williams type of attitude towards everything. That's what our country has become. And it's pathetic. It's really sad. Okay, so that's the take on all that. Just never seems to get any better. You know, people are defined. I found this to be true, but people as a nation are defined by the worst among us. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And that's how Americans are looked upon in the rest of the world. And let me see if I can find you a particular example of this. Okay, here's something. The Pentagon says it will investigate a Marine's sworn statement that guards at Guantanamo Bay bragged about beating detainees and described it as a common practice. The Marine, a paralegal who was at the U.S. Navy station in Cuba last month, alleges that several guards she talked to at the base club said they routinely hit detainees. "From the whole conversation, I understood that striking detainees was a common practice," she said. "Everyone in the group laughed at the others' stories of beating detainees." Does anybody find this to be hard to believe? This is exactly what I thought was going on. Knowing people who are in the military, knowing human nature, this is how things go. And this is how the world sees us. Doesn't matter all the people who don't do this. Doesn't matter all the people who are going in there for noble reasons and trying to do the best job they can. This is how we are defined. And the same thing with all the violence going on around us. With all the school shootings, with all the... look at this. This is just over the last couple of days. Father charged in stabbing deaths of children. Man charged with killing his four young children in Louisville, Kentucky, assaulting his wife. He was arrested. Well, okay, great. Just yesterday, I saw this story. A woman charged with using a baby as a weapon. She used a four-week-old baby as a weapon in a domestic dispute, swinging it through the air and striking her boyfriend. Every day, it's something even worse. And there's seriously something wrong with our society where this kind of thing just not only keeps happening, but keeps getting worse. The prevalence of gun crimes, of school shootings. Just yesterday, a 13-year-old student wearing a mask and a long black trench coat, as if the trench coat really matters that much. What kind of hairstyle did he have? Boxers or briefs? Come on, it's not this just puts the attention on the wrong thing. Nobody ever got killed by a trench coat. And lots of people wear them. Anyway, this 13-year-old was wearing a trench coat and a mask. A mask is a little bit unusual, but you don't walk around with masks generally. Unless it's Halloween. Anyway, he fired an AK-47 into the ceiling at his school yesterday after confronting a pair of students and administrators, telling them, "Please don't make me do this." Kind of trying to follow the logic there. You see somebody walking down a hallway with an AK-47, you confront him, and he's going to say, "You're going to make me do this if you don't let me walk down the hallway with the AK-47 in peace." Anyway, they say this kid was following a well-thought-out plan. He was a seventh grader. He pointed the gun at the two students, and he then fired a shot into the ceiling, breaking a water pipe, and kept saying, "Please don't make me do this." They persuaded him to leave the building. They found a note in his backpack indicating he had placed an explosive in the school, which has about 750 students. And the backpack also contained military manuals, instructions on assembling a bomb, and detailed drawings of the school. They say he'd been planning it out for quite some time. Fortunately, it was averted. Fortunately, nobody was killed or even injured. But something is wrong with our society where this kind of thing keeps happening. And I guess another question is, what do we do about it? What do we do about this? How do we fix this? And then we had this other crazy incident happen last week. This is priceless. These guys known as the Minutemen, you know about them? They patrol the borders, not just the south border. Now they patrol the northern border as well, to keep the immigrants out. No, not the immigrants, but to keep the illegal aliens out so that they don't become immigrants. And the head of this particular organization, Jim Gilchrist, was supposed to speak at Columbia University last week. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen because there were so many angry people there that they actually stormed the stage to keep this guy from speaking. Now, I don't like these people at all. I don't like the Minutemen. I think they're evil, and I would do everything possible to subvert what they do, including helping people get across the border. Because why not, you know? can't make things any worse. It really can't. We need all the help we can get. But more importantly, I just don't like vigilantes. And in fact, I seem to agree with President Bush on this. He calls them vigilantes and doesn't like what they do. But despite that, I still hold my ground on this. Anyway, just to look at the webpage of a Columbia publication. In the biggest old-fashioned activist shindig Broadway has seen in a long time, hundreds of students and community leaders yelled and community members, rather, yelled and picketed outside Lerner Hall to protest the arrival of Jim Gilchrist, founder of the Minutemen. They had all sorts of catchy slogans, such as Workers of the World Unite, Same Struggle, Same Fight, Minutemen, Nazis, KKK, Racist, Fascist, Go Away. Nice. I mean, it rhymes. It has meter to it. It's good. Then they had an opening speaker who went on for quite some time and what's defined as a free associative rant ranging through scripture and America's constitutional republican form of government, et cetera, et cetera. This is where things started to get a little bit crazy because, well, the crowd didn't apparently like the things he was saying and they just started haranguing him mercilessly. And, you know, I'm all for protesting and I'm all for basically confronting people, especially political leaders. But this seems to have gone a bit over the top. Listen to some of the things they were chanting or just shouting out. And this is really something. You don't know, I'm going to say crap, even though they use a different word in their shouting. You don't know crap about God. You black white supremacist, go home. Okay, you know what? Right there, when you call somebody a black white supremacist, that's where you lose me. That's where you lose me both morally, logically, all sorts of different ways. That's where you define yourself as just plain stupid. Oh my God, what's a black white supremacist? Maybe at that stage where black people are defined as white supremacists, maybe it's no longer about race. You know, maybe the race issue has gone out the window. And it becomes something more akin to nationalism. And simply having different views, different radically different views. With a straight face. And I've seen people do things like this. Black white supremacists, my God. So then it got worse after that. They stormed the stage, prevented the guy from speaking. I don't think that's a good thing. I think they should have let the guy speak. That way they would have something to point out the logic, the fallacy of his arguments. Instead, by storming the stage and preventing him from speaking at all, they handed this guy a tremendous victory by making it seem as if they're complete lunatics. And also, on top of that, they got most of the Columbia student body dead set against them because they were so disruptive. I think this is also much of the reason why we don't seem to ever move forward and get things done in opposition to all the nonsense that's going on out there. All sorts of statements were issued condemning this. The Chicano Caucus, one of the main organizers of the protest, their statement was, on behalf of the Chicano Caucus Executive Board, I'd like to clarify for the Columbia community any misunderstandings that may have arisen from tonight's chain of events. While we were the chief organizers of the protest outside Rune Arledge, we were not responsible for any of the actions that led to the termination of the event. It is unfortunate that the series of events escalated to a point of violence. We feel that it is important to discuss and bring to light important issues concerning immigration, though they should be done in a peaceful manner. While we do not agree with Mr. Gilchrist and his organization's views, we respect everyone's right to freedom of speech and regret that his opinion was not heard. And that was from a spokesperson from the Chicano Caucus there on Columbia University. And, of course, the university itself condemned what happened. Here's a statement from the people who occupied the stage. We celebrate free speech. For that reason, we allow the Minutemen to speak. Well, not really, but let's just say that they were able to say something. And for that same reason, we peacefully occupied the stage and spoke ourselves. Our peaceful protest was violently attacked by members of the College Republicans and their supporters, who are the very same people who invited the Minutemen to our campus in the first place. The Minutemen are not a legitimate voice in the debate on immigration. They are a racist armed militia who have declared open hunting season on immigrants, causing countless hate crimes and over 3,000 deaths on the border. Why should exploitative corporations have free passes between nations, but individual people not? No human being is illegal. I agree with a good bit of that, but when you throw in blatant lies, these guys aren't responsible for 3,000 deaths. Where has that ever been documented? These guys are basically people who go around looking for illegal immigrants or aliens, whatever you want to call them. And yes, I know no people are illegal, but we need some kind of a phrase. They crossed the country illegally. They did something that labels them in a particular way in these guys' eyes. And yeah, I think it's bad what they do, but they did not kill 3,000 people. And it's just, what does it serve to spread things around like that? And if you look at the organizations that that are opposed to this kind of thing, that step up and speak out, what do we have here? We have International Answer, the same people who supposedly organize anti-war protests, Revolutionary Communist Party, Progressive Labor Party, International Socialist Organization. Well, where are these groups normally? They're not running for any kind of office. They don't have very much in the way of people power. But they show up at these things, and they tend to alienate people so much. And that's something that I've noticed over the years, is that they do the work of the right wing by alienating everybody to what people on the left say and do. So, yeah, that's craziness coming out of Columbia University. And it's a lot of fun. Okay, 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Let's see how many people are out there. 631-632-WUSB. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Hi. Is this Off the Wall?
This is Off the Wall. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling to talk about the whole guns in school and the whole violence in schools issue.
Okay.
When I was a teenager, I'm 24 now, but when I was a teenager, I got arrested for possessing a firearm on school property.
Really?
Yeah. And, now I had no plans on threatening anybody with a firearm or doing any of the things that a lot of kids are doing these days, but I thought that I kind of had an insight into the whole issue. And I think the problem is that kids see the world in a way where it's okay to take what you want. It's okay to respond to what you consider injustice with force. And I think it's unfortunate that young kids these days are seeing like what our country does and what organizations do, like people who are against abortion who kill doctors or, mm-hmm. you know, so on and so forth. and it's all supported by the right wing, and some of it's supported by the left wing, and there's no center.
So you're saying basically kids today see what our government is doing, invading other countries, might makes right, and they're using that in their own lives?
Well, I think I don't want to say that it's a scapegoat, because that would be false and that would be kind of ignorant. But what I think is a teenager rationalizes his problems and the way that he interacts with his world in a different way than an adult does. And they see it, and then they take these guns and they say, oh, well, this person hurt my feelings, and I'm going to feel that for the rest of my life. I'm going to go to college, and I'm not going to get a girlfriend. I'm not going to have a date to the prom. I'm going to kill this kid, because to me, you know, thinking through the eyes of a teenager, you know, that's rational. I will hurt him and his family for the rest of his life, because he's hurt me for the rest of my life.
No, I totally understand that. I went through a lot of bullies in school, and I got to tell you, in all honesty, if I had access to firearms, I probably would have tried to do something, because they make your life so miserable. And that's why, I think it's so important that when kids are in these formative years, that we not make it so easy for them to make these horrible choices, that they really are not in a position to have all the information of life experience and consequences and things like that, and not to simply act on a whim.
Absolutely. And when you're 16 or 15, you don't realize that even if you don't plan on hurting anybody, like I didn't plan on hurting anybody, but I didn't realize that I wasn't going to get a good education and I wasn't going to have job opportunities in the future because of a mistake that I make.
Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was convicted as an adult. It was pre-Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get hung from a fence, but...
Were you wearing a trench coat?
No.
Okay, well, at least there's that.
Okay.
So you were just walking around, you had a gun. What kind of gun did you have?
Well, it was a very small, it was a 25 millimeter semi-automatic.
Okay.
Safety was on.
All right, and what, you were in the school when they found you?
I was in the parking lot, and what happened was I got into an altercation with another student, and we were going to have a fist fight. And so I took the gun, and I handed it to my friend, and I said, I don't want anybody to get hurt. Take this and get out of here, or we're all going to jail.
Okay.
Well, my school had security cameras and metal detectors and all that, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And so security rushed out and tackled me, and there was a big hubbub, obviously for good reason.
Right.
But now, at 24... since I was tried as an adult, that record was never sealed. Every time I'm a computer security person. Every time I apply for a job, they do a background check. Can I have security clearance? Well, absolutely not, because I'm a felon.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be for the rest of my life, and there's nothing I can do. And I think that if kids knew the decisions that they were making will affect them and everyone around them for the rest of their life, they wouldn't make those decisions.
How hard was it for you to get your hands on this?
To get my hands on a gun, it was absolutely easy. I mean, a friend of mine's dad had guns, and he stole the weapon from his dad, sold it to my friend and I for $25.
Wow. And that's how things happen so many times. We say, the legally registered gun's not a problem because all those people are law-abiding. They're law-abiding until something happens. And then all of a sudden, wow, it was so easy. It was so incredibly easy to do this. It's easier than borrowing a car.
And my father, growing up, he's a lifetime member of the NRA, you know? And my whole life I heard, well, it's the Boy Scout scenario. It's better to have something and not need it than to need it and not have it. Well, you know, I totally agree with your point of view. If we took away the guns and the bullets and the missiles and all the crap that we used to kill each other, then we'd have to fight each other physically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary to look a man in the face and know that he's going to hit you with something large.
Yeah, and it should be, because, you know, that's what it is. You're being hurt by somebody or you're hurting somebody. In either case, you should be able to see the eyes of the person doing this to you and feel it very, very closely.
And a sniper rifle is very impersonal, and so is a nuclear warhead. And, you know, there's no difference between a 25-millimeter handgun in the hands of a 16-year-old stupid kid or a nuclear missile in the hands of a very angry North Korean dictator.
Yeah, that's true. Just the difference is with scale. That's really pretty much it. We only have a couple of minutes, but I'd like to give you the opportunity to say something to today's kids who might not have gone through what you've gone through.
Well, I mean, if you're out there and you're listening and you're in computer club and you're sitting in front of your laptop and you're working on your Objective C, don't get angry at the people who don't understand you. And don't hate people that don't understand you, because propagating a cycle of abuse is the worst thing that we can do, especially in these days and times. Break the cycle of abuse. Stand up for yourself, but do it in a positive way, you know?
Yeah.
Because honestly, no one respects a bully, not even somebody who has been bullied and then turns into one.
Yeah, exactly. I hope that you're able to get through this, that maybe just becoming some kind of a spokesperson for thinking logically through these things, you might be able to reach a whole lot of kids that normally would not be spoken to by anybody. And in that way, get something positive out of what's happened.
Hopefully someday that I'll be able to do that.
Okay. But you're not going to give up on your future or anything like that, are you?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, every day holds something new.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every day you sit down in front of your computer, even if you're alone, you know everything in the world as long as you know how to read.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely true. That's why that education, which is the reason why these people go to the school in the first place, supposedly, is so important. But insofar as the security checks and all that kind of nonsense, you know, I think if you're straightforward and honest with people, they'll respect that more than anything else. And eventually, you will find something that will pay off that that you'll be happy with, despite what's happened in the past.
Yeah, and there's no reason to be afraid to go to somebody and say, hey, you know, I don't appreciate the way that you treat me, and maybe we can figure something out.
Yeah. All right, listen, thanks for calling. All right, take care. Unfortunately, that's all the time we're going to have for phone call. That was such a good call that I'm sorry we couldn't go to any more calls. Boy, I actually talked to somebody who was arrested for bringing a gun to school. Never talked to somebody like that before. And what an enlightened outlook after all of that. Our email address is otw@2600.com. We love to hear from you. And somebody wrote in to otw@2600.com asking about last week's closing song. Sounded like Pink Floyd. What was that? Well, James, that was actually Pink Floyd. Yes, it was the demo for Comfortably Numb. So, yeah, you might have thought it sounded kind of familiar. And this is one of the few songs I know that actually has a dog in it, also by Pink Floyd. See you next week.
I was in the kitchen, shameless as the dog was outside.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.